Well, I invite you to take your Bibles out this evening and turn to the Gospel of Luke, St. Luke, chapter 2. If you're using a pew Bible, we have them in the front of your seats. You'll find that beginning on page 857, if you have a large print, you'll find that on page 1019. Luke, chapter 2, we will be looking at verses 25 through 35. Luke 2, verses 25 through 35. As always, we ask that you give careful attention to the reading. This is the word of the living God. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." Since the reading of God's word, let us go to him and ask him to bless our time. Our Lord God in heaven, we thank you for your word. Indeed, we thank you for Christ, whom we have gathered to worship and reflect upon this evening, reflect upon his glorious incarnation, the wonder, the mystery of it. May our hearts be attentive to the reading and preaching of your word. May you work in us this morning, or this evening, by your grace and for your glory. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's always a joy to bring the Word of God on an evening like this, an evening before we reflect and celebrate as a church, as families, as a society, the incarnation of Jesus Christ, God becoming man. This evening, we are looking at a brief account of Simeon's song, as it's known, or in the Latin, Nunc Dimittis, which means "now you are dismissing." It's actually the very first words of verse 29 in the Latin Vulgate. That's where the name comes from. It's a reference to the Holy Spirit revealing to Simeon that he would not see death until he saw the Messiah. And after he did, he picks him up in his arms. He responds by saying, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace." This account takes place in the context of it when Joseph and Mary brought Jesus to the temple, both for the purification rite, which was commanded in Leviticus chapter 12, and for the dedication rite, which was commanded in the Exodus, where God claimed the firstborn of the sons of Israel. And the parents were allowed to raise their sons, and their sons were bought back, so to speak, by sacrifice. So that's what Joseph and Mary are doing here. They were being faithful to the law. And of course, Jesus was born under the law, and he faithfully submitted himself to the law. And it's in verse 25 that we meet Simeon, and we're going to note three things briefly from this account this evening. First, we see Simeon the man. Second, we see Simeon's song. And then third, we see Simeon's prophecy. But first, Simeon the man, look with me again in verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God. So Simeon, as far as we know, was a layman. That is, he was not a priest. He didn't have some office in Israel. At least the text doesn't give that indication. He was from Jerusalem, and we learn that he was righteous and devout. In other words, he was faithful to God. He was attentive to the duties that God had commanded him. He was a man that was looking for the promised hope. He was patiently waiting for that promise that God told him he would accomplish. The text says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And that term, consolation, refers to the comfort of Israel. He was waiting for the time when God would come and comfort his people. It was an eschatological hope where God had promised that he would come and he would restore the fortunes of Israel. That's the typical language we see in the Old Testament. Now, can you imagine just for a second the kind of hope Simeon needed to have in the time he was living in? He was waiting for the hope of Israel in a day that was incredibly dark. Right, Simeon lived most of his life in a time where collectively God had stopped speaking to his people. God stopped speaking to his people roughly 400 years earlier after the prophet Malachi. 400 years of time. That's, just to put that in perspective, that's longer than we have been a country. A long time. Furthermore, Israel was not free. They were not politically independent. Herod was a cruel tyrant. And many in Israel were living with an externalized religion only. Yet here is Simeon, one of the remnant of Israel, patiently hoping, patiently waiting for the comfort of Israel to come. He never gave up on that hope. We learn in this text that Simeon was told by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he saw the Lord's Messiah. Now, many assume based on that verse that Simeon must have been an old man, but we can't conclude that for sure. The text doesn't actually say that. He may have been. But all this tells us is that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. He could have died as a middle-aged man, for all we know. But what a blessing. Simeon would be able to see the hope that he longed for. And the Spirit moved him to come into the temple during the time that Jesus was being dedicated. And verse 28 says that he took up the baby in his arms. Now, can you imagine for a second the excitement and perhaps the bewilderment of Simeon? God told Simeon that he would see his Messiah, the one who would do all these glorious things, all the things Simeon had hoped for, all the things God said in the Old Testament that the Messiah would do. And the one to do all of these things is being held in Simeon's arms. A baby. In verse 29, in light of his excitement, in light of his certainly his bewilderment at trying to figure this out, that this is the Messiah who's going to do all things, and he is sitting in my lap or in my arms. He bursts out in praise to God. Look with me in verse 29. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Now, Simeon's song has allusions in it to the Old Testament, particularly the book of Isaiah and his prophecy of the suffering servant. Simeon says that he's now ready to depart, of course, alluding to what God had told him earlier. He is ready to depart in peace because he has seen the Messiah. He has seen the one who was to come and redeem Israel. This Messiah would be both for the people of Israel and he would be a light to the Gentiles. Simeon is showing familiarity here with the biblical text. He is familiar with Isaiah. Listen to what Isaiah 49 verse 5 says. And just note in the context, the one who's speaking is the suffering servant. And now the Lord says, who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring back Jacob to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, is it too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel? I will make you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach the end of the earth. Simeon is alluding to this text in his song. This Messiah whom he was holding, this suffering servant that would comfort, that would bring salvation, not just for the remnant of Israel, but for the nations, for the Gentile peoples. It's interesting, even as early as this time when Simeon is breaking out in praise, holding the infant Messiah, it is recognized that God's covenant people will consist of both believing Jews and believing Gentiles. We see Simeon's song of praise. Last thing we see is Simeon directs his attention to Mary and a prophecy about Jesus. Look with me in verse 33. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. I think we can appreciate for a moment the awe that both Mary and Joseph would have been in at this time. The text says that they were amazed. That's probably an understatement. We think about all the things that have led up to this. The angel Gabriel announces wonderful things about the baby. The shepherds announce wonderful things about the baby. The angels break out in praise about this baby bringing glory to God. And now Simeon breaks out in song about what this baby will accomplish. And chronologically, the Magi have not even came yet. So we can appreciate their amazement and perhaps their shock with all these things that are transpiring. But Simeon turns to Mary and gives a prophecy about the reception of the child. He says, he is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel. Jesus would also reveal or expose the hearts of many. In other words, Jesus is a vital figure. He is so vital that the eternal destinies of people are based upon how they receive him. The falling and the rising language is interesting because the term for rise here is actually the same term that is used in the New Testament for the resurrection. Those who reject Jesus will fall. They will not receive salvation, but those that receive him will rise. They will rise to everlasting life. They will rise to everlasting salvation. And Jesus exposed hearts. And he continues to expose hearts through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, while he was on earth, exposed the superficiality. He exposed the shallowness of external religion. His exposing of the truth angered the religious establishment so much that they crucified him. And Simeon mentions this, not directly, but indirectly, when he tells Mary that her own soul will be pierced because of her natural motherly instinct. She would be deeply grieved at what will happen to her son. And no doubt she remembered Simeon's words when she saw the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, crucified on the cross. Now, there are a few things about this text that we can consider by way of application this evening, but I think the first thing to note is that Simeon helps us to be reminded of the importance of patient endurance. Patiently waiting upon the Lord of glory. Of course, in his time, there was no way to realize that he was actually patiently waiting for the first advent of the Messiah, and we as God's people are awaiting his second advent. No doubt we are waiting for it in dark times, through trials, through tribulations, through pain, through hardship. But we must cling to God's promises and wait upon his hope. Beloved, this same God that promised the Messiah, promised to accomplish glorious things through the infant Christ, also promised that he would consummate all things. And the angels that promised that in the same fashion many saw Jesus ascend, he would descend again, and he would make all things new and gather his people to himself. Thus, beloved church, as you celebrate the first advent of Christ, wait patiently with anticipatory hope for his second advent. Just as Simeon's faith was made sight when he took the baby Jesus into his arms and he gazed into the eyes of the Messiah himself, so one day our faith will be made sight. And we will not gaze into the infant eyes of the Messiah, but we will gaze upon the resurrected Christ in glory. That day is coming. A second thing to know, one cannot look at Christmas, that is the birth of the Messiah, without considering his work, without considering the purpose of his birth. Beloved, when we celebrate Christmas, we ought to reflect upon the incarnation of Christ. And as we do, our minds ought to automatically go to the purpose of his birth, what it was for. What was his mission? His mission was to redeem sinners. You see, Jesus Christ was God's answer to a dilemma. How could a holy God redeem sinners without compromising his holiness? It was because of Jesus Christ. It was because of the God-man who was born, he lived a perfect life, and he died. And when he died upon that cross, God poured out his holy wrath upon Christ so that his justice would be satisfied. And the law that Jesus submitted to, the law that he kept it perfectly in thought, word, and deed, so that it would be credited, or another way to say it is legally imputed, to the believer in Christ. That was God's answer. And that was the purpose of the incarnation. And beloved, because it is the only answer, it is the only way by which man can be saved. Simeon could say that he would be the cause of the rise and fall of many, and that is just as true today as it was then. So if you are a believer in Jesus Christ here this evening, you can say with Simeon through the eyes of faith, I have seen Christ, I have beheld Christ, and now I'm ready to die in peace. Indeed, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ here, beloved, because of the work that Christ accomplished in His first advent, you have the hope of the resurrection. It is because of Jesus Christ that you will rise. We also know, and perhaps there are some in this room here this evening that are offended by Christ. They are offended by the cross, or perhaps they're just indifferent to it. They do not think they need forgiveness. They do not think they need a Savior. Perhaps they would even say that religion is just a crutch for people. They will be able to stand before God on their own and give an account. And the way they view it is that God will more than likely grade them on some kind of curve. But beloved, they will fall. And they will fall hard. If that describes you this evening, the scripture is very clear. You will fall. Despite what you think, God has put forward His Son as the propitiation for sin. He is the only way to God. And no matter how much you stamp your feet in protest, it does not make it less true. This is the way. And this is why, by the way, there is so much division around Christ. Perhaps many of us have family members that have rejected Christ. Thus, it makes this time a little bit awkward when we gather with them because we make so much of Jesus Christ. It's because Christ is a stumbling block to many. He's a stumbling block, the scripture says, to the Jews, and foolishness to the Greeks. And certainly in our enlightened age, it is folly to believe. So where are you this evening? Are you for Christ or are you against Him? Because this baby that we celebrate this evening and tomorrow did not stay a baby. He went on to expose false belief. He went on to show people the Father. He went on to call people to repentance and to faith in Him. And He went to the cross and He accomplished salvation for His people. So will you turn to Him in faith? Or will you reject Him? If you reject Him, you will not only fall, you will physically die, and you will face God without the only means of salvation that He has provided. So let me close this evening with a quote. One writer said it this way: those who imagine themselves to be strong and high, who rely on their own merit and power, will come to woeful ruin and undoing, because in their pride they do not realize their own need and doom and do not take refuge in Christ. But the humble ones, those who bend low at His feet with confession of sin and faith in Him, will be raised up by His mighty arm to eternal life. Amen and amen. Thanks be to God as we pray together. Lord God in heaven, we thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look at this account with Simeon, we are reminded of just how faithful You are to Your covenant promises. Lord, as we reflect upon the first advent of Christ this evening and tomorrow, let us be reminded of His glorious work. And let us anticipate his second advent, which is just as sure to come as his first advent was. Even so, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would come. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.